try to accomplish over the next couple of weeks is rather than focus on one particular malacha in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, I want to try to focus on many of the klolim that permeate all the malachas. So probably many of these klolim you've heard a little bit, familiar with a little bit. We'll try to be ma'arich and try to show how these klolim work out in terms of many, many different sugyas throughout the Masechta. So hopefully during the course of the next few weeks, we'll talk a little bit about Davar Shem Miskaven, about Psik Reishas, Malach Shetzik Lagufas, Shaliach Hayads, Chatzishirs, Masayeya, Masasek. That's pretty much what the game plan is. Whatever we finish as in the past 3 years. But we don't finish, we push off the next year, whatever. Figure it out. Okay, good. So the first sugya that I want to speak about is a very famous sugya, both in Masechet Shabbos and in other areas of Halacha. It's called Davar She'eino Miskaven. So there is a machlekes hatanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that permeates the Masechta, that permeates really Shas, about the issue called Davar She'eino Miskaven. What exactly is Davar She'eino Miskaven? So Davar She'eino Miskaven means as follows, that a person does an action, and we'll call it action A, and action A is a ma'aseh that's mutter to do. There's nothing wrong. There's no issur b'chlal in doing action A. The only problem is that sometimes action A brings along action B. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And action B happens to be something that the Torah prohibits. So what's the halacha? Am I permitted to do action A knowing full well that there is a possibility, it's not for sure, but there's a possibility that B may take place. So that's, and I'm not really interested in B, that's not my intention. I'm interested in doing A. So that's what the classic scenario that's called Davar She'eino Miskaven. So the Gemara presents this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about what the halacha is about a Davar She'eino Miskaven. First we'll speak about it in the realm of Hilchos Shabbos, then we'll move on to other areas as well. So in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, the classic example to illustrate this machlokes between Rabbi Shimon is the case of Gor Adam Mita Kisei B'Safsal. Is a person permitted to drag a chair on the dirt on Shabbos? What's the issue? Dragging a chair is not a malacha. It's not one of the malachas. The problem is sometimes dragging a chair on dirt may make a hole. Making a hole in the ground is a problem. Maybe a problem of chayvish, maybe a problem of boina. Okay, we're yotzi. You said I have to say boina. I said boina. Okay, good. So there is some malacha that's going to be involved if I would actually make the hole. If I would intend to make a hole in the ground, that would for sure be a problem. Now the shaila is, I don't intend on making the hole. I intend on dragging the chair. Am I permitted to drag the chair? It's a Davar She'eino Miskaven of making the charitz, of making the hole. What's that halacha? So Rabbi Yehuda says that it is also, one's not permitted to drag the chair. And Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. So that's the first machlokes. That's the first application of the machlokes. Then the Gemara has in other places, in Shas, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Nazir that highlights the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in another area outside of the realm of Hilchos Shabbos. What is the following din? We know a Nazir is not permitted to cut his hair. So if a Nazir takes scissors and cuts his hair, that's a problem. What if a Nazir wants to play with his payas a little bit? So he's twirling his payas, and there's a chance. Anyone, I don't know, too much payas, but those who throw the payas, every once in a while, you throw with your payas enough, so we may end up pulling out some of the hairs. So would that be a problem? Would we permit the Nazir to play with his hair, to rub his hair a little bit, even though there's a chance that he may end up pulling out his ear? If he pulls out his ear intentionally, that's an Isidir Aisa. If he's not intending on doing it, he's doing something else, but B may happen, that's called a Davar She'eino Miskaven. So the Gemara says it's the same achlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says that that is also, and Rabbi Shimon says that Davar She'eino Miskaven is going to be mutter. So the Gemara is clear that this machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon applies both in Hilchos Shabbos as well as in Kala Torah Kula. So before we understand the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which is going to be the bulk of what we're going to talk about, because we happen to pass the Rabbi Shimon in this one, we have to get a little bit of an understanding b'das Rabbi Yehuda first, and then eventually we'll move in to more relevant in terms of Rabbi Shimon. First, let's analyze Rabbi Yehuda's shita. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Davar She'eino Miskaven is also. So the Gemara on Maseches Yuma and Daf Lamed Daled discusses this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in light of a following statement that Rabbi Yehuda made. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, Maseches Yuma, those who remember the Mishnayos, Rabbi Yehuda addresses the following practical problem. When the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur goes to the mikveh many, many times, so the mikveh water could sometimes be cold. The Kohen Gadol could sometimes be an older person. You can get a late Yom Kippur, it gets a little chilly in the mountains of Yerushalayim. It's hard to believe it gets chilly around there, but it does sometimes get chilly in Jerusalem at night in the fall time. So the problem is, how is the Kohen Gadol going to be tovel in the water? The mikveh is going to be too cold. So how are you going to heat up? The fish sticks do it every time. Don't eat the fish sticks before the shiur. How are we going to heat up the water for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur to make it a little bit more comfortable for him? So comes Rabbi Yehuda and came up with the following etzah. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can take these pieces of metal, heat them up from before Yom Kippur. You obviously can't heat them up on Yom Kippur, but you heat them up from before Yom Kippur and throw the hot pieces of metal into the water, and that's going to cause the water to get a little bit warmer. So comes the Gemara and says, wait, that's a problem. How can you take hot metal and put it into cold water on Yom Kippur? There's a potential malacha that's being involved. What malacha is being violated? So there is an issa what's called mitzarif es abarzel. If you take a piece of metal, hot metal, and put it into cold water, there's a potential malacha involved. Which malacha is it? So it's a machlekes and rishonim. Either it's a malacha of kibui, when the metal is hot, the metal is glowing, and putting it into water is potentially extinguishing the metal. It's cooling down the metal to the point where the metal is being extinguished. That may be malacha is kibui. Or maybe a totally different malacha, maybe a malacha of makab apatish. It may be a malacha of fixing something, of creating something, fixing a kli, because we see twice, we have makab apatish also, so we're on a roll today. When you take a piece of metal that and you heat it up and then you cool it down, so that strengthens the metal, that may be a violation of malacha's makab apatish. So again, it's not important for our purposes which malacha we're dealing with, but there's a potential malacha out there of taking hot metal and putting it into water. So ask the Gemara, how did Rabbi Yehuda permit the taking of hot metal and putting it into a cold mikvah on Yom Kippur? Isn't that a violation of Davar She'en Miskaveh? Even though the person's intention is not to extinguish the metal, the person's intention is not to strengthen the metal, this guy has one intention. His intention is to make him more comfortable for the Kohen Gadol. So according to Rabbi Shimon, that would be permissible, because Davar She'en Miskaveh is mutter. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be a problem, because Davar She'en Miskaveh is also on Shabbos. So the same way that Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to drag a chair because there's a chance that you may make a hole, you may make a charitz, so too Rabbi Yehuda himself should aser to take the hot metal and throw it into the water to cool off the mikvah because it's a davar she'en miskaveh or some halacha taking place. That's the question that the Gemara deals with. So the Gemara is also give out this topic. So one answer that the Gemara says is a very, very cryptic answer. The Gemara says, no, this is different, that this case of the metal is different because it's only midirabbanan. And the question is, what in the world does that mean? Why exactly does that make a difference? So there's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos what the answer of the Gemara is. So Rashi says, what the Gemara means is as follows. When did Rabbi Yehuda prohibit a davar she'en miskaveh? That's only when we're dealing with a malacha d'araisa. When we're dealing with only a malacha d'rabbanan, something which is only asana d'rabbanan, then even Rabbi Yehuda would concede that davar she'en miskaveh is mutter. So since the Gemara answers that this tziruf hashoshios, this tziruf of the metal, cooling off the metal, is not a real malacha d'araisa. It's not the real makoy of kibui. And it's not the real makoy of makab apatish. For some technical kibui of makab apatish reasons, it's not a malacha d'araisa. Since it's only an issa d'rabbanan, so davar she'en miskaveh is mutter on an issa d'rabbanan, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So this is Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara. So the question is, why should that be so? If Rabbi Yehuda holds that davar she'en miskaveh is also, if Rabbi Yehuda says that anything you do, bein ayidei kavana, bein shloidei kavana, is an isser, why should it make a difference whether we're dealing with an issa d'araisa or we're dealing with an issa d'rabbanan? What's the bir adavar b'da'as Rashi? So Rabbi Kivegir in his Chidushim to Maseches Yuma, Daf Lamedal, on the spot says, he thinks the answer is as follows. Rabbi Yehuda says that davar she'en miskaveh is also, but if you think about it for a minute, when a person is dragging a chair and there's a chance that he's going to make a charitz, it's only a suffix. It's a 50-50 chance that he's going to make a charitz. So says Rabbi Kivegir, when you're dealing with an issa d'araisa, so we have a cloud gov called suffix d'araisa l'chumra. It goes back to 2 years ago, Shirim. So suffix d'araisa l'chumra, but the karla of the suffix d'araisa l'chumra is suffix d'rabbanu l'kula. So let's say, for example, if I have a piece of meat in front of me and I don't know whether it's chaz or whether it's kosher, I'm not allowed to eat it. That's suffix d'araisa l'chumra. If I have a piece of food in front of me that may have been cooked by a goy, food that's cooked by a goy is bishalakum. I have a piece of food in front of me, I don't know whether it was cooked by a goy, so the shach in your adenuch is bishalakum says, I'm permitted to eat it. Bishalakum, we spoke about that also. Today she has tried to get a little bit of everything. So when you have suffik derais is l'chumah, suffik derabon is l'kula. So it comes Rabbi Kibager and says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yehuda is the biggest machmir in davar she'en miskaveh, Rabbi Yehuda asks the davar she'en miskaveh, it's dino kisofik. So when you're dealing with a d'araisa, then you have to be machmir. When you're dealing with a d'rabbanan, then you have right to be mekel. So therefore, when it comes to dragging the chair, it may make a hole. That's presumably going to be a d'araisa. Or the case of the nazi wants the patch can play with his payas, so he may pull out his hair. That would be a d'araisa. So davar she'en miskaveh is also according to Rabbi Yehuda, al tzofik d'araisa l'chumra. But according to... But if you're dealing with an issa d'rabbanan, the worst case scenario it's going to be is only a d'rabbanan. So suffik d'rabbanan is lakula, and the main davar she'en miskaveh is mutter on an issa d'rabbanan. This is Rashi's beer in the Gemara. But notwithstanding Rashi's view in the Gemara, the more popular pshat in the Gemara in Yuma is Taisa Shita. The reason why it's more popular, it's one of the longest Taisim in Shas. It's about two daf long, this Taisis, as daf lamedal in Yuma, where Taisa says the pshat in the Gemara is as follows. It says Taisa, what the Gemara means is the following Yisoid. Rabbi Yehuda Shita, the Dover Shed Miskavan. Again, we're going to focus more on Rabbi Shimon, but we have to understand Rabbi Yehuda in order to understand Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda's basic Shita, the Dover Shed Miskavan, is Osir. So one could raise a question about the Shita. Does Rabbi Yehuda mean to say this is an Issa D'Araisa? Or does Rabbi Yehuda mean to say this is only an Issa D'Rabbanan? If I go ahead and I drag the charit, I go ahead and I drag the chair, and the hole was made. I wasn't interested in making the hole was made. So did I really violate an Issa D'Araisa? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Dover Shed Miskavan is Osir. Is that a D'Araisa think a problem? Or is Dover Shed Miskavan, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only a problem with D'Rabbanan? So comes Tosfos and says, it would appear that even Rabbi Yehuda, the biggest machmir in Dover Shed Miskavan, only asses Dover Shed Miskavan on a level of the Rabbanim. There's no way in Hilchos Shabbos that a person could say that Dover Shed Miskavan is an Issa D'Araisa. Why not? Because Dover Shed Miskavan is lacking one fundamental yisoid, and this is the most important yisoid that permeates the entire Masechta, and that, except for Rabbi Elazar, this is the yisoid of, this is the yisoid of Malachas Machshavas. Malachas Machshavas, two famous words in Parshas Vayakel, where the Torah tells us that in order to be an Issa D'Araisa in Shabbos, it has to be a well-thought-out, planned, constructive, positive type of activity. If it's lacking in that well-thought-out, intentional, etc., there's no way in the world it could possibly be mid-araisa. So comes Tosfos and says, the whole machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about whether you're allowed to drag the chair on Shabbos is not a machlekes on the level of deraisa. If you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, am I allowed to drag the chair? The answer is, avad, you're allowed to drag the chair, because by definition, that's not called malachas machshavas. The whole machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is midirabbanon. Should we say not to drag the chair, notwithstanding the fact that you're lacking malachas machshavas? Maybe midirabbanon it should still be also, because not everyone's such a lambda, not everyone learned Masechah Shabbos, not everyone realizes malachas machshavas. So people are going to see a guy's dragging a chair, he's making a hole. People are going to think, well, you're allowed to make holes, you're allowed to dig holes on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda made a gezeirah midirabbanon that even though you're doing the malacha derech davar she'eino miskaven, which is lacking in malachas machshavas, af al pichei midirabbanon it's going to be a problem. Rabbi Shimon said that even midirabbanon it's going to be permissible.
It's not like
Marasai. Yeah, I just made up Marasai. It's not really Marasai. I mean, it's like any other said derabbanon. So comes Tosfos and says, b'medivar mamurin the Rabbi Yehuda asers a davar she'eino miskaven. That means he asers it on a level of derabbanon, but midirais it's going to be mud. Why does that help? If Rabbi Yehuda says it's only midirabbanan, so hadu kush l'duchda, why does he permit us to put the hot metal into the mikvah? It should still be also midirabbanan. So that's what Tosfos adds on. We have a klal called ein shvus b'mikdash. Whenever we're dealing with something which is only a midirabbanan, so very often we relax. Many assume midirabbanan in the Beis HaMikdash. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, people are more careful. The Baruch Shalom's presence is there, the Kohanim are there, the Sanhedrin's there. People are less likely to violate Aveira. So therefore, the Chachamim lifted certain prohibitions midirabbanan b'machom HaMikdash. So according to Tosfos, that's what the Gemara means when it says that it's the Rabbanan. So again, Bein L'Rashi, Bein L'Tosfos, the Gemara permits, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the throwing of the hot metal into the water, because of the magic word, Dirabbanan. That's all we know. Dirabbanan, five letters we know. That's the reason why it's mutter. But we don't know what that means exactly. What's Dirabbanan? Where's Dirabbanan? So Rashi learns that Dirabbanan is referring to the act of cooling off metal is only an Issa Dirabbanan. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda never asked Dovash and Miskavin on an Issa Dirabbanan because Safi Dirabbanan Lekula. And according to Tosfos, the word Dirabbanan is not going on the Malacha, but the word Dirabbanan is going on the concept, is going on the notion called Dovash and Miskavin only being with Dirabbanan. But then Tosfos goes one step further. Tosfos says, if you go back to where we started the Shia a few minutes ago, we said that the Machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, appears in two places. It appears in Masechah Shabbos. The prototype is the case of the dragging of the chair. And it also appears in Masechah Nazir about the hair, which has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. So comes Tosfos and says, that second Machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Dover Shein Miskaven out of the realm of Shabbos, in the realm of Nazir, in the realm of other areas of Kolotar Akula, says Tosfos, the other areas of Halacha are not governed by Malachas Machshavas. Malachas Machshavas is only a condition, is only a Tanai in Hilchos Shabbos. There is no klal of Malachas Machshavas in Hilchos Nazir. There's no klal of Malachas Machshavas in other areas of Halacha. So comes Tosfos with a tremendous chiddush. Comes Tosfos and says, even though we just got finished proving to you that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Dover Shein Miskaven is only also mid the Rabbanan in Hilchos Shabbos, that's only in Hilchos Shabbos if that's the case. But in Kol HaTorah Kula, out of Shabbos, it's going to be an Issa D'Araisa. So it comes out that there's a double machlekes Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon. There's a machlekes in Shabbos, and there's a machlekes in Kol Torah Kula, but the machlekes are very, very different from one another. They have totally different concepts that they're arguing about. In Hilcha Shabbos, everyone agrees to the basic din d'araisa, that Dov Hashem is kavin is mutam in a Torah. The machlekes is, should we make it d'rabbanan, should we not make it d'rabbanan? That's one machlekes. The second machlekes is in Kol Torah Kula, where they're arguing on a real fundamental machlekes, on a level of d'araisa. Is Dov Hashem is kavin also in d'araisa in Kol Torah Kula, which according to Rabbi Yehuda would be, or is Dov Hashem is kavin mutam l'chatchila, like it is according to Rabbi Shimon? So these are different machlekes, but different issues. So when you see the word Dov Hashem is kavin, you see the phrase Dov Hashem is kavin, so you have to always ask yourself, well, what area of halacha are we in? Are we in Hilcha Shabbos? Are we in Kol Torah Kula? If we're in Hilcha Shabbos, then the whole machlokes is only on a level of derabanan. If we're in Kol Torah Kula, then we're potentially on a level of deraisa. So again, so we have a basic machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We have a Gemara Maseches Yuma that throws a monkey wrench into Shitas Rabbi Yehuda by telling us that sometimes Rabbi Yehuda says something. We're just not sure what the sometimes is, what the something is. So Rashi learns one pshat that by Yisurim Derabban Rabbi Yehuda is made the Safi Derabban Lekula. And according to Taisus, no, but the Gemara is not addressing the Issa Derabban, rather the Gemara is addressing the concept of Dov Hashem Miskaven only being Derabban. But Taisus says that concept of Dov Hashem Miskaven only being Derabban is only true in Hilcha Shabbos. In Kol Torah Kula, that concept is in fact going to be derived, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda. How do we pass in halacha in this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? So one thing we know absolutely certain is that in Hilcha Shabbos we pass in halacha like Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says halacha Rabbi Shimon begereira. This is one of the exceptions to the rule. The Gemara has a whole sugya and Rabbi Sachem about this. But the bottom line is we pass like Rabbi Shimon, even though usually Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Here we pass in like Rabbi Shimon, halacha Rabbi Shimon begereira, that one is permitted to be gar adam mita kisa v'safsa. One is permitted to drag a chair even on the ground outside, even though there's a possibility that a charitz at a home may be made, we pass in halacha that it's mutter. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the fact that we paskin that it's mutter, there is a somewhat of a problematic gemara that appears in Maseches Shabbos in Perek Shmona Shvatzim, in the end of the 14th Perek, where the gemara is discussing a different area of halacha, not Hilcha Shabbos, it happens to be in Maseches Shabbos, but it's talking about a totally different area of halacha. The gemara is talking about an isser of sirus. There's an isser midaraisa for a person to do something physically to cause a person no longer to be able to have any children. A person maims, a person damages that area, the organ of the body, the Egor Haleda, so that would be an Issa D'araisa. That's a Pasuk in Chumash that applies to if one damages either an animal's Egor Haleda, or if a person damages a human being's Egor Haleda, either his or somebody else's. That's the Issa of Artzichem Losasu. The Gemara derives from the Pasuk in Parashas Emor, that if Artzichem Losasu was referring to the Issa of Misaris. There's an Issa D'araisa to be Misaris. So the Gemara raises the question, what is the halacha if a person has some kind of a medical condition and he's supposed to take some kind of a medication and this medication is going to heal his problem, but in the process of healing his problem, it's also going to cause him physically to become a saris. It's going to damage the evarim to such a degree that he won't be able to have any more children. So is that permissible or not? So the Gemara says that's a problem. The Gemara says that a person is not permitted to take that medication because that would be a violation of this Isser in the Torah of Misaris. So comes Taisus on that sug in the end of Perek Shmona Shvatzim that quotes from the She'iltos, that the She'iltos made the following observation. The She'iltos says, wait a second, why should that be also? That's a classic Dov Hashem Miskaven. My intent is to get better. I have a certain condition, I want to get healed, and as a byproduct, there's a possibility that a person may become a saris. So l'chari, that should be a classic Dov Hashem Miskaven, and we should pass the Kribi Shimon, it should be mutter. So comes Taisus in the name of She'iltos and says, you see from here, that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. There's a stomach of the Gemara that says you're not allowed to do this type of a treatment. So ask the Shiltas, wait a second, the Gemara passes for Feirish, Halach Rabbi Shimon Begreira, so how can you tell me Halach Rabbi Shimon Begreira, and then turn around and say that this Siros of Dov Hashem Miskaven is also? So says the Shiltas, the answer is very simple. There are two different issues. One's an issue in Hilcha Shabbos, and one's an issue in Kol Torah Kula. And we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Bilcha Shabbos, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon in Kol Torah Kula. So the Shilta says, these two Gemaras, what seems to be an apparent contradiction between the Sirus Gemara and the Halakha Rabbi Shimon Begreira Gemara, so this bears out this distinction between Hilcha Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula, even in the realm of Halakha Lamaisa. So this is the Psach of the Shiltos, that Halakha Lamaisa, the Shilta says, we follow Rabbi Shimon only in Shabbos, we do not follow Rabbi Shimon in Kol Torah Kula. According to what we just said in the name of Taisus, this makes a lot of sense, because they're two different issues. One's a level on a shala on the level of the Araisa. One's a shala on the level of the Rabbanon. So on the shala the Rabbanon, maybe we're making like Rabbi Shimon. But on the shala of the Araisa of Kol Torah Kulu, we're going to paskin l'chumra like Rabbi Yehuda. This is the psach of the Shiltas. So Tosfos points out that it doesn't seem to be correct because this psach of the Shiltas is only taking into consideration these two Gemaras. The Shiltas is only addressing the Gemara that talks about Sirus, in contrast to the Gemara about Alok Rav Shimon Begreira. There's a third Gemara, and that's the Gemara Maseches Nazir, where there's a Stam Mishnah that says that a Nazir is chayfe from a fast face. The Mishnah says Beferish that a Nazir is permitted to play with his face. He's allowed to rub his hair, he's allowed to shampoo, he's allowed to wash his hair, even though there's a chance that some hair may fall out. So the Gemara says, Man Tana the Stam Asnis, and who is the Tana of that Mishnah? The Gemara says, that's Rabbi Shimon speaking. And we have a klal. The klal is that Alok Rav Shimon Begreira Mishnah. So comes Tyson and says, how could the Shiltas tell you a story that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon only in Ucha Shabbos, not in Kol Torah Kula? What does he do with that Sugi Maseches Nazir? We have a Stam Nishta that supports Rabbi Shimon. So Tyson says it can't be correct. We cannot accept the Shiltas. Says Tyson, Avad and Avad, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon across the board. We follow Rabbi Shimon in Hilcha Shabbos, and we follow Rabbi Shimon in Hilchas Nazir, and we follow Rabbi Shimon in Kol Torah Kula. So what do you do with that Gemara about Sirus? So comes Tyson says, that Gemara about Sirus is a totally different story. That's a new factor, another factor we haven't even begun to discuss, which is really going to lead us, Yetzshem, hopefully into tomorrow's year, and that's the issue of Psikoresha. Comes the Gemara in Rabbi Lezer Gemila, and Adam Rebbe, it's in Rabbi also, the one Gemara that permeates both Sugyas, both Prachim. So there is a Gemara says as follows, even though Rabbi Shimon holds Zavar Shem Miskav and his Mutter, may the Rabbi Shimon be Psik Reisha. Rabbi Shimon agrees that, what if I do action A, and it's not a chance that action B may take place, I know for a fact that action B is going to take place. It's not a Shaila. Every time I do action A, action B always results. So the Gemara says, that's no longer called a Zavar Shem Miskav, that's called a Psik Reisha. Most of the Rishonim explain Psik Reisha to mean when you're dealing with a chicken and a person says that he wants to cut off the head of the chicken in order to play with, give his kid a toy. It's a very, very long Shabbos afternoon. They finish playing Risk already and they have nothing else to do. So you walk over to the Moshav, you want to cut off the head of a chicken. So comes the Gemara and says, you're not allowed to do that. Why can't I do that? There's nothing wrong with taking a head off a chicken. So the answer is, you're killing the chicken. But I don't want to kill the chicken. I hold like Rabbi Shimon. It's a Davar Shem Miskavin. So the Gemara says, no, that's ridiculous. It's a Kerei Shev Lo Yamos. You're going to cut off the head of the chicken. Of course the chicken's going to die. So that's going to be the Malach of Netilas Neshama, the Malach of Shaychei. So says the Gemara qualifies Rabbi Shimon Shita. Rabbi Shimon Shita only makes sense by a Davar Shem Miskavin. It doesn't make sense by a Psik Reisha. So comes Tosis and Shabbos and says, that's the answer to the Sira story as well. That when the Gemara says that you're not allowed to take this medication, it's going to cause you to become a Saris, that's not a Davar Shem Miskavin of being a Saris. That's a Psik Reisha being a Saris. It's always going to happen that way. It's always going to have that side effect of making the person into a Saris. So Tosfos, that's not the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. This Gemara in Shabbos in Perek Shmini Shratzim has absolutely nothing to do with today's Shia. This has nothing to do with Davar Shem Miskavin. This is in the category of Psik Reisha. Maydi Rabbi Shimon Psik Reisha Velo Yomus. So basically, the way the Rishonim line up lahalacha in terms of do we accept Rabbi Shimon, do we accept Rabbi Yehuda? So it's only the Shiltos that was so convinced by this Gemara about Siros that we have to at least salvage Rabbi Yehuda, at least in Kol Torah Kula. And Tosfos and all the other Rishonim said it's not true, that we don't accept Rabbi Yehuda neither in Kol Torah Kula nor in Shabbos. And that one Gemara tucked away in Shmona Shratzim is not even a Davar Shem Miskavin. It's a Psik Reisha, and therefore it's irrelevant to the discussion. So that's the way Rav Rishonim passed. That's how we accept the halacha, like Tosfos, straight like Tosfos, that Davar Shem Miskavin is Mutter B'Shabbos, Davar Shem Miskavin is Mutter in Kol Torah Kula. The only thing that is true is what the Gemara says Beferish, that Tosfos just alerted us to, is that Moed Rabbi Shimon B'Psik Reisha V'lo Yomus. That Rabbi Shimon agrees that whenever action A will for sure bring about action B, that is going to be a problem. So that leads us to our next beginning of our discussion. We'll start it now, hopefully continue tomorrow. What exactly is the nature of this halacha? We spent a lot of time in Rabbi Yehuda, and now we have to go back to Rabbi Shimon, who's the way we really paskin. So Rabbi Shimon holds Davar Shem Miskavin is mutter, yet all of a sudden when it's a Psik Reisha, everything changes. What is that all about? What is the nature of that halacha? Why does Psik Reisha change everything? So the secret to that riddle can be found in a Gemara in Perek Abayna, Daf Kuf Gimel, where the Gemara discusses two different types of Psik Reishas. The Gemara says that there's what's called a Psik Reisha de Nichalei, and there's a Psik Reisha de Lo Nichalei. The Gemara doesn't exactly use those terms, but the Gemara uses illustrations that the Rishonim use those terms for. A Psik Reisha de Nichalei means as follows. A person is dragging a bench, and it's a very, very heavy bench. and he knows for a fact that it's going to make a hole. So comes the Gemara and says, wait a second, if you know for a fact it's going to make a hole, that's not the machlekes of Yehuda Rabbi Shimon anymore. The Yehuda Rabbi Shimon are talking about light benches, not heavy benches. So you're dragging a schlep in a very, very heavy bench, that's a psik resha. So says the Gemara, well, sometimes you want that hole to happen, and sometimes you don't really care about that hole to happen. Now, my intention is not to make the hole. My initial intention is to drag the bench. But it happens to be that once the hole is made, I'm going to be very happy about that. Now I got this great hole. I got a great ditch. I don't know, I could use it to play, made a hole to play golf in. I don't know, whatever. You'll figure out in Netza what you can do with this hole in the ground. So comes the Gemara and says, that's what's called a psik resha de nichalei. That's a disaster, according to Rabbi Shimon. But sometimes you can have what's called a psik resha de lo nichalei. It means I'm dragging the lo nichalei, according to Moshe Shalom, doesn't mean I am unhappy about it. It just means lo ichpaslei, I couldn't care less about it. So I'm dragging a very, very heavy bench, and I know with absolute certainty a hole is going to be made. It's a mamas lo ichpatli. I don't care whether the hole is going to be made or not. So the Gemara says, that's a different type of psik resha. So even according to Rabbi Shimon, not all psik reshas are the same. There's a psik resha de nichalei, and there's a psik resha de lo nichalei. So we have to understand what exactly are the differences. What is the status of psik resha de nichalei? What is the status of psik resha de lo nichalei? Once we understand the different types of psik reshas, hopefully by tomorrow, we'll get a little bit of a better understanding of what psik resha is based on altogether. So again, so today we had pretty much, we focused on Rabbi Yehuda Shita, which ends up, according to most, was shown to be pretty much rejected lahalacha. But the yesodas of Rabbi Yehuda are important for us to understand Rabbi Shimon. And now we moved into Rabbi Shimon territory, but we really have to work on understanding what's the yesod, what's the fundamental principle of psik resha, and then what exactly the different status of psik resha, and how it's all going to play out. Lamas. Okay, I'll mention him tomorrow.
Go ahead.
Thank you.